In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, the Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let's pray. O God, instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit. Grant it by the same Spirit may be truly wise. Never rejoice in its consolation to the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father and Terry.
Pray for us.
St. Ignatius.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Good evening. We start off once again speaking about prayer, because the very heart of our program is prayer, which is union with God. So I'd like to start off to give a brief catechesis on prayer as a means to motivate us to carry out these very noble meditations that all of you are doing with greater fruit. With prayer, we can always go deeper in our prayer life. Prayer is like an infinite abyss where we can go deeper and deeper. So let me give you five very short points on prayer, and then we'll get into, I'd like to talk about another Marian dogma today, and I'll give you a Marian devotion. See how far we get. Okay, the key to prayer, according to Teresa of Avila, is Spanish is debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. Half of you speak Spanish here, right? Debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. Spanish is very poetic. In English, the rhyme doesn't go as well, but the essence is we have to be determined, and we have to persevere, because prayer is the easiest thing in the world, but it's also the most difficult. It's the easiest because we can pray any time, any place, using any words we want. But it's difficult because you start to take your prayer life seriously, all hell breaks loose. Okay? People will drop out. And sad to say, the devil tripped people into believing that it's not worth the while to persevere in this program. And I feel sad for them. Because they're losing so many graces, no? And they're conforming themselves to mediocrity. And I don't think any of you want to be mediocre. I hope not. So perseverance is key. Got to persevere. Second is St. Teresa of Avila, who's the master of prayer. She said that she would not allow anyone to come into the convent of the Carmelites. This is back in the 16th century, who could not read. Now back 500 years ago, most people couldn't read. Why? Because from her own personal experience, she was aware of the fact that if you know how to read, you can learn how to pray by reading good books. This is part of the oblate charism, to get people to read good books. So sometimes people come to me, they're stultified or stagnant in their prayer life, and I'll say, well, okay, let's get you to read a good book. Read a good book on prayer. Okay, Father Dubé, okay, Prayer Primer. Father Dubay, Deep Prayer, Deep Conversion. Read the writings of St. Peter of Alcantara. Okay? Read Teresa of Avila. Read Francis de Sales. Read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the fourth part. Because we're not going to pray well if we don't have intellectual conviction. It's called in psychology the principle of motivation. If we're not motivated, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to get out of bed. So we have to be motivated to believe that prayer is of the essence. So spend some time reading on the topic of prayer. Third point is, all of you take your spiritual life seriously. You should all have periodic spiritual direction. We as oblates, we have to have a spiritual director. We have to. But you lay people, you have to have some type of spiritual direction. Otherwise, you're going to stagnate. You arrive at a plateau where you don't go anymore. Now, this is not my private, personal opinion. This is Teresa of Avila. This is St. John of the Cross. This is St. Ignatius. Yeah, I'm giving you the big guns here, okay? And they're very insistent upon having someone to accompany us in our spiritual journey. I saw my spiritual director 8 days ago. Every month I see my spiritual director, and one of the first things I talk to him about is I say, Father, I'd like to talk about my prayer life. Yeah. First thing I talk about, we pray together, and I say, Father, this is my prayer life. No? And I probably have more training in prayer life than most of you. None of you are theologians except me, right? But I still have to have someone that's going to be directing me. Otherwise, we become stagnant. We become stultified, or spiritual life, we don't grow. The next point is the two P's, prayer and penance. We do not practice some type of penance. Prayer life never gets off the ground. The image I give is, imagine a bird trying to fly with one wing. I can't get very far. Or try to imagine you're flying from here to Guadalajara or New York in a plane that only has one wing. Try it. Good luck. I'd like to have a plane that has two wings rather than one wing. How about you? So to soar high in the spiritual life, we have to have a life of prayer, but also a life of penance, in which we learn how to say no to ourselves. And lastly, we've mentioned this in our spiritual exercises program. It's very propitious for us to have a prayer method. Prayer method. Prayer method is not an end in itself. If it speaks Spanish, prayer method is like un andamio. Some of you speak good Spanish. Andamio would be like a scaffold that you use to paint a house. Mm-hmm. Once you finish painting the house, you take the scaffold down, don't you? So I compare a prayer method to a scaffold and spend andamio, if you speak better Spanish, okay? Andamio would be a scaffold. Mm-hmm. You ever see those houses that are painted? You got the board there and you got the ropes. That's cool. Once the house is painted, get rid of the scaffold. So prayer method is not an end in itself, but it's a help. And basically, in everything we learn, there's methods. No? If you're trying to learn to speak Spanish, well, you had methods. It's called grammatical rules. No? Even like, for example, something simple as hitting a baseball. You hit a curveball, you weigh it on it, and you punch it to right field. There's a method in hitting a curveball in baseball. Any baseball players here? Okay. Watchers, but not players. Okay, yeah. And the prayer method that I've been suggesting over the past year is taken from Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic exhortation, Verbum Domine. Verbum Domine would be a development of De Verbum from Vatican II. Verbum Domine means the Word of God, which he gives us. The prayer method, I think most of you have heard me speak about it, but I'll refresh your rusty and dusty imagination. Okay? It's called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. And there are five steps. Lectio, Meditatio, Contemplatio, Oratio, e Actio. I added a baker's dozen. Transformatio. Amen, huh? Lectio. What does that mean? Read. Meditatio. What does that mean? You got to think. Contemplatio. What does it mean? Use your imagination. Oratio. What does that mean? Pray. Actio. What does that mean? Pope Francis says, go from your heart to your feet. Amen. Go to your feet, like Mary, right? So you put what you've learned in prayer into practice. And then transformatio, no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Amen? Yeah. So you can use that, a prayer method. St. Ignatius also gives you what he calls the three powers of the soul, utilizing your memory, your intellect, your will. Maybe that's a little more simple. Okay, so there's the brief catechesis we did on prayer. Hopefully that'll put wind in your sails to keep you on the straight and narrow path, which this is. It's a demanding course. This is not kindergarten. This is more little league. This is major league baseball, okay? This is for the big league, okay? Meditating is tough. And of all the prayers that you've ever done, this course as well as the exercise, obviously it's the most demanding, no? But it's worth it, right? It's worth it. Okay, next idea I'd like to expound upon is most of you have already done the spiritual exercises program. Some of you are newcomers. After this, you'll be breaking up into your groups. And take seriously the sharing time, okay? It's not long. You only have about 20 minutes. But take that seriously. It's an act of charity on your part. We're talking about love now. Act of charity on your part to listen to the others that are sharing. And Father Tim Gallagher says, we're walking on holy ground. Because every person, every one of you are very important. And every one of you in your prayer experience is very, very important. It's your relationship with God, and that's very important. Okay, but not only that, you're listening, but what you have to say is very important. You may not have to say a lot. You may only be speaking, 2 minutes, but those 2 minutes are very important. You hear me? Very important. And that's part of the tripod of this program that I've set up. Remember, I gave you the analogy of a tripod, right? You try to have a tripod, you only have two legs, what's going to happen? Kerplunk, collapses, huh? So the tripod is the conference, which you give free of charge. Amen. Yeah. Second would be your sharing, and third, most important, is your prayer period. Okay, I'll give you an example. Last week you had the Luminous Mysteries. You're contemplating the wedding feast of Cana. You're sitting at the table with Mary and Jesus. You look in the eyes of Mary, and Mary said, I'm looking into your face, and I'm going from your eyes into your heart. Something is bothering you. Tell me what's bothering you. And you open up and you tell Mary something that's been bothering you. After you tell Mary what was bothering you, Mary listens to you with great attention and says, I know it. I love you. I will place your worry within my heart. And you get up and you're filled with joy. You share that with your group. That's enormous. That's huge. Got me? You hear me?
Yeah.
My sharing was, sorry, but that'd be an A plus. That would be an A plus sharing. I'm not patting myself on the butt, but that would be an A plus. Because it's not simply a theological rumination, but you're talking about how Mary connected with you in the very depths of your heart. Got it?
Yes.
I love the wedding feast of Cana. I mean, because that's one of the fruits of my meditation. I've got problems, but I bring these problems to Mary as an oblated Virgin Mary, and Mary has never let me down. Amen?
Amen.
And she never will let me down. I believe it. And if you don't bring your problem to Jesus, Mary, your problem is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you're going to fall into depression.
Yep.
You're going to fall into depression. So many people out there, they're sad, they're depressed, they're suicidal, because they don't know where to go with their problems. We can bring our problems to the heart of Mary. Mary brings our problems to the heart of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? That should give you a lot of consolation. You're not alone. We're not alone. We got Mary with us. So that's one idea. If you're kind of floundering, what do I say? That would be a model sharing. Okay. Okay. So we've talked about prayer, about a little about sharing. Now let's talk about. I was talking with one of our brothers today about a integral Mariology has to have the two D's. It has to have both devotion and doctrine. Okay? And I said doctrine without devotion is very, very arid, very dry. That's when I was studying to be a priest. I mean, theology is really beautiful, but can be sometimes kind of dry and arid. But if you condiment that with some devotional material, it's like a good salad. No? You ever go to Olive Garden? Oh, that's a great salad. Ah, I like Olive Garden. No? It's a salad, but those condiments that they put on, the oil, the vinegar, the spice, and the pepper, and a little bacon piece, and a little cheese. Ah. Yeah, it's an ensalada. That's a salad. Yeah. Tocando el cielo con las manos, dicen los argentinos. Yeah. Yeah. So, doctrine without devotion is dry. But devotion without doctrine can generate into sentimentalism. So there has to be a harmonious balance, a harmonious blend between doctrine and devotion. And who is the best at that? I think John Paul II. He wrote some of the greatest, John Paul II, he wrote some of the greatest writings on Mary. But if you've ever read the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary, from which I got the inspiration to write this book, that's pure devotion. Mater Redemptoris. That's doctrine. Some of you who are in Tao, you know, that's kind of heady material. So there has to be a harmonious blend between the doctrine and the devotion. So I'm going to try in my talks to give you a little bit of both. So we've gone through prayer, sharing. Now let's go through another Marian dogma. Remember last week, memory goes beyond 6 days, hopefully it does, no? Is we mentioned the four Marian dogmas and the possibility of a fifth. A dogma is an official statement or proclamation of the Church, which is the mystical body of Christ, that we have to believe. Otherwise, we're not Catholics. Now, the four Marian dogmas are the Immaculate Conception, the Divine Maternity, the Perpetual Virginity, and the Assumption of Mary into Heaven. Those are the four Marian dogmas. The fifth, that especially Mark Miravalli and the Mariologists of the world are trying to get the Holy Father to proclaim a fifth Marian dogma, and they want to put three into one. It would be Mary as Mediatrix of all graces, Mary as Co-Redemptrix, and Mary as Co-Adjutrix. And those three titles can be found in Lumen Gentium Chapter 8, if you want to find. That's a dogmatic constitution of Vatican II. Lumen Gentium Chapter 8. That's the most famous, most important of all the dogmatic constitutions of Vatican II. It would be Lumen Gentium. Chapter 8 is the one that talks about Mary, especially Mater Ecclesiae. Mary is the mother of the Church. Okay, so last week I explained to you the Immaculate Conception, right? You already forgot, huh? Okay. Immaculate Conception. Proclaimed in 1854, Pope Pius IX, Infallibus Deus would be the papal bull, and the Immaculate Conception proclaims in a clear, definitive way that Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin. And the papal bull says that Mary was preserved. And they quoted to you an English poet, William Wordsworth. We've got some English majors here, as am I. William Wordsworth said, "Mary is our tainted nature's solitary boast." I love that. And he was a Protestant. Our tainted nature's solitary boast. Tainted nature means original sin. She's the only one that we boast of that she didn't have it. Now, when we celebrate the Immaculate Conception, we celebrate it on the 8th of December every year. And it happens to be the patroness of the United States. And they shocked some of the Filipinos, but it's also the patroness of the Philippines. Did you know that? Yeah, because you heard me say it, right? Okay. She's our patroness. Yeah, so we celebrate the Immaculate Conception every year in the very heart of Advent, the day before the feast day of Juan Diego and 4 days before the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is the 12th of December. Prayers to the Immaculate Conception, if you speak Spanish, Ave Maria Purísima, right? Okay, that is the way in which the Hispanics honor Mary, Ave Maria Purísima, sin pecado concebida. But the prayer in which we say to honor the Immaculate Conception, you can find in the Miraculous Medal, which is given to St. Catherine Laboure in 1830, and that is, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. They said those who honor the Immaculate Conception, one of the graces is that Mary will help us to overcome sin in our lives. I repeat, we're all sinners, right? That's right. Are you sinners or not? Okay. Un poco? Okay. We're all sinners, right? No poco, mucho. Okay. We're all sinners. If you start to fall in love with Mary, Mary starts to push us away from sin. And she pushes us to Jesus. I like that push, don't you? Pushes us away from sin, and she's pushing us to Jesus. I like that very much. Hopefully you do also. That divine maternal push, huh? You think of Fulton Sheen. He was in London once, and he was in front of a church, and he saw a woman that was laying there, prostrate there, laying down at the church, a very beautiful woman, but she was drunk. And he said, "Are you that the singer in that play?" "Yes." And he said, "What happened?" "Well, a lot of problems." She said, "I am a Catholic, by the way." And Fulton Sheen said, "I'll tell you. I would like to meet you tonight at 5:00. She said, "Yes, but under one condition, you do not tell me to go to confession." He said, "I promise I will not tell you to go to confession." So she arrives at 5:00, enters into the church there. She's kind of wandering in no man's land. All of a sudden, she feels someone push her into the confessional. Sheen jumped in, pulled back the confessional door, and heard her confession, and she was converted. And then he said, 50 years later, she's been in the Carmelite convent as a contemplative nun the past 40 years, and she's been so very happy. So be care of those divine pushes, okay? Mary wants to push us into the arms of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's move from the Immaculate Conception to the Divine Maternity. The Divine Maternity. Now, of all Mary's privileges, her greatest is the one we're going to explain tonight. Of Immaculate Conception, Divine Maternity, Perpetual Virginity, the Assumption of Mary, her Divine Maternity is the greatest of all of her privileges. We call these privileges, these dogmas. Okay, we call it the Divine Maternity. Okay? The Divine Maternity. All of you know what the word maternity is if you're a mother, huh? You're in the maternity ward when your little daughter was born, okay? Maternity ward. Okay, when was this proclaimed? In the year 431. It was proclaimed at a council, it's called the Council of Ephesus. Well, according to tradition, Mary lived for many years with St. John. Remember, woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. So St. John took Mary into his physical residence, but also into his heart. A key figure in this was a man named Saint Cyril of Alexandria. Now, what does this mean? It means that Mary is the Theotokos, that would be the Greek. Theotokos, how's your Greek? the Christ bearer, the Christopher, the Christ bearer. Mary is the Theotokos. She carried Christ within her womb. Mary is the, she is truly the mother of God. Now, when do we celebrate this great privilege of Mary, the mother of God? We celebrate it in a longer way than you might imagine. There are two specific days that we celebrate this Divine Maternity of Mary every year. And the first would be Christmas. Because on Christmas, what do we celebrate? Okay, we celebrate Jesus, the birthday of Jesus. That's who was he born from? Mary. So every Christmas we celebrate the Divine Maternity. Also January 1st is the celebration of the Divine Maternity of Mary, as well as the Universal Day for Peace, established by Pope Paul VI, who will be canonized October 14th. Praise the Lord. Huh? By the way, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Humana Vitae this year, in July. But also, we celebrate indirectly the Divine Maternity Mary in Advent, because Mary is within the womb of Christ. And we celebrate also the Christmas season. So in a certain sense, we celebrate the Divine Maternity but about 6 or 7 weeks in liturgically, in a very wide sense of the word. Okay, how do we honor Mary's Divine Maternity? Many ways. But every time you pray the Hail Mary, every time you pray the Hail Mary with a lot of faith and devotion, you're honoring Mary's Divine Maternity. The Hail Mary can be divided into three parts. Hail Mary, full of grace. That comes from the Archangel Gabriel. Blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb. That comes from Saint Elizabeth. The third part, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So every time you say the third part of the Hail Mary, you're honoring Mary's Divine Maternity. And Mary rejoices at that. So if you ask, what is the prayer that Mary likes best? Prayer that Mary loves best is the Hail Mary. But she loves something even more. She loves it when you say it 50 times. Better yet, when you say it 100 times. Better yet, when you say it 150 times. So, Mary loves the Hail Mary. She loves the Rosary. And that's the whole purpose of this book, right? Get you to really fall in love with Jesus and Mary through the mysteries of the Rosary. Okay, one last point on the Mary's Divine Maternity. And it is Our Lady of Guadalupe. Our Lady of Guadalupe also enshrines within that beautiful approved apparition, 1531. Four apparitions. We have the Divine Maternity. Because all of you who are Mexican descent, there's a lot of you here, you look into Our Lady of Guadalupe, you can see that she has a black ribbon. See the black ribbon? What does that mean? Yes. So Mexican women 400 years ago would wear a black ribbon as a sign of respect for the child that they had within their womb. The ribbon's pretty high, isn't it? So December 12th, 13 days later, huh? Christmas? Interesting story that years ago my mother brought to my attention was the following. There is a man in this country who is the pilgrim of Our Lady of Guadalupe in the country. At least he was for probably a good 20 years. And my mom invited him to her home in New Hampshire and Florida a couple of times. His name is Dan Lynch. Okay? And he's been in EWTN with, I think, Father Mitch and Jonette Bankovich more than once. But this is a story related to the Divine Maternity. He said he went to the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe and asked the rector if he could lend the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe so he could bring it to the United States. Guess what the response was? What do you think the response was? A resounding no. But they gave him a replica. A replica which looked very much like the image. A beautiful replica. Now this probably happened at least 15 years ago. And so he would go from one parish then to another one in the United States according to the permission of the pastor. And he'd give a long, detailed explanation of the story as well as the image, because there are books, about 400 pages, which explain all the different details. And last, you probably know, we had an expert come to give us talks in Spanish and English, Fernando, last December. Remember? Some of you were even participating in it, yeah? So there's a lot of details. So he was explaining it, and there was a little girl who's maybe 5 years old, and she tugged at the sleeve of her mother and said, "Mommy, look, the tummy's moving." And the mother was a nurse. And nurses tend to have a pretty good hand on biology and chemistry and physics. Tend to be very analytic, very logical. And the mother said, You're just imagining that. So any of you remember when you had your 5-year-old child, they can be pretty insistent, right? So the little girl said, "Mommy, no, the tummy's moving." The mother said, "Yeah, that's impossible." The little girl says, "Nuh-uh, I see the tummy moving." So the mother was a nurse. She had a stethoscope. And so she took the stethoscope and put the stethoscope over the replica and put it over the stomach, the womb. And this is what could be heard. It was the heartbeat of Jesus beating within the womb of Mary. Check it out tonight. You just Google it in. Dan Lynch, Our Lady Guadalupe, Miracle. You can watch it. It's one of my favorite miracles. For that reason, Our Lady Guadalupe is the patron of the pro-life cause. Some of you have done some pro-life marching. Our Lady Guadalupe, lifting up a beautiful image of Our Lady Guadalupe is excellent. Excellent. So there's another Marian privilege, and it's the Mary's divine maternity. We celebrate December 25th, January 1st, the Advent season, as well as the Christmas season. Okay, so the last part of my talk, I'd like to give you a Marian devotion. The Marian devotion I strongly recommend is devotion to Mary and the miraculous medal. The technical name is technically the medal of the Immaculate Conception, but it's called the medal of the miraculous medal because so many miracles have come about. So I'd like to briefly explain it to you, and then encourage you to draw closer to Mary by studying up on this a little bit. You can give me 9 or 10 minutes to explain it to you, then motivating you to really fall in love with Mary through this beautiful devotion. Okay, here's the context. It's the year 1830. The year that my founder died, 1830. We're in France. We're in the city of Paris. We're on the Rue de Bac. Some of you speak Spanish. Rue de Bac. And there's a convent of nuns founded by Saint Vincent de Paul. This is one of the Marian-approved apparitions, which probably most of you are not too familiar with, but I'll just give you a 4 or 5 minute summary, and you're going to fall in love with it. No? It's an approved Marian apparition. So you have a nun, a young French nun, who is She's in a dormitory, and she's sleeping, and all of a sudden, she feels someone touching her and saying, "Get up. Someone's waiting for you." It was her guardian angel. So her guardian angel beckoned her to get up, get dressed, because someone was waiting for her. And she gets dressed and she follows the guardian angel into the convent chapel. Now they're sitting at the presidential chair. You don't know what the presidential chair is, I'll show you. Okay? They're sitting in the chair of the priest was, guess who? It was the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was sitting in the chair. And at first, fearful, Catherine Laboureil looks, and she is just dumbfounded at what she's looking at. But the woman says, "Come." So she takes a couple of small steps. "Come." Takes a couple more, four short steps. "Come." "Come. Come. A little bit closer. Come." And she invites her to come, and she draws close to the Blessed Mother. She falls to her knees, and she places her hands in the lap of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I don't think I've ever read any approved Mary apparition with such close intimacy as that one. She's actually touching Mary. Guadalupe, she's up there. Lourdes, she's in the cove, right? Fatima, she's on the home oak tree. Okay? La Salette, she's up there in the sky. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Knox, she's up there in the sky. Okay? But this one, she's actually so close that Catherine places her hands in the Blessed Mother's lap. And then what happens is they have a long, intimate, profound conversation. That's the essence of my program, is what I've just told you right now. That's the whole purpose of this 5-week program. You hear me? That's the whole purpose of this program. Instead of Mary being someone that lived 2,000 years ago, she's just a statue, she's a very kind of distant, esoteric, ethereal, kind of mystical statue type thing. No, Mary is real. She's flesh and blood. She's real. And she loves us. She loves us very, very much. Mary longs for you to be a Catherine Laboureil. Some of you are a little bit fearful. Mary's saying, "Come. Come closer. Come closer. Don't be afraid. Come closer. Come closer. Even closer. Kneel down and talk to Mary." What do you think went on in that conversation between Mary and Catherine Laboureil? We're only going to find out in eternity, right? But what happened to Catherine Labouré is what should happen to each and every one of you. Connect that with what I said a half hour earlier, the wedding feast of Cana. Now all you people have your joys. But every one of you, right now, has something within the depths of your heart hidden to Jesus and Mary alone that is causing you suffering right now. You have this hidden sorrow within you, this hidden thorn, this hidden wound, this hidden fear, this hidden anguish. So in our Marian consecration, we have to learn through Marcellina Panavino, through Catherine Labouré, through the children of Fatima, if you like, lest we become like little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless we become like little children, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So Mary's inviting all of you to be honest. And dig into the very depths of your heart. And open up and tell Mary what's going on in your life. As I said earlier, if we do not come to terms with our own interior crosses, our own interior sufferings, our own interior battles, our own interior doubts, our own sinfulness, and we cannot bring that to Jesus through Mary, we're going to be falling into a state of depression. But if we can bring this, all we are, to the very heart of Mary, Mary will bring this to the heart of Jesus, and Mary will help all of you to become great saints. Do you believe it? Yes. Mary will help all of you to become great saints. Now more than ever, we need great saints. The times are very tough. And as St. Louis de Montfort said, the Latter-day Saints, not the Mormons, but the saints in the latter times will be those who have a cross in one hand, a rosary in the other hand, in the names of Jesus and Mary in their lips and in their hearts. You're called to be these Latter-day Saints through the intercession of Mary. So that is what I'd like to lay in your heart today. A motivation to go deeper in your prayer life. Willingness to share some treasure that Mary has given to you. Have a proper Mariology where you've got the two D's. You've got the doctrine, you got the devotion. We've already explained two of the dogmas, the Immaculate Conception, now the Divine Maternity. And I've given you a Marian devotion. That Marian devotion is the miraculous medal. And I'd like to close with a story that happened in the life of someone very close to me, my earthly mother. Shortly after Roe v. Wade, when abortion was legalized, my parents moved from New Jersey to Massachusetts. And my mom had a very good friend, and there was an abortion clinic that was set up not too far away from the house. It was shortly after Roe v. Wade. So my mother and her friend went to the abortion clinic, like two little children, no? And they put a miraculous medal in the crack of the bricks there, kind of on the sly, in a clandestine way, kind of. So they put the miraculous medal there. Then they went to a nearby church to make a holy hour and to pray the rosary. Within a few days, the abortion clinic closed. That's why it's called a miraculous medal. So let's place all we are, all that we have, into the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen?
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, you can break up into your groups. If there's new people, Mary will be able to situate you in one of the groups. God bless you and keep up the good work.